is Breaking Bread Podcast. This is Rafael Figueroa, and this is
Jeff Johannes Meyer, lover of Jesus. I got two first, Rafael. Yeah, you were slow on the trigger.
Oh man, it's been a while since we made one. We had made a one, but it got deleted, and some other things happened, and now we're back.
Yes, amen.
Welcome back, guys, and hope you all have been doing good. And me and Jeff have went to conferences. We've seen some really great things. Met some really great people.
That's true. We did.
We were part of a group called Destiny, and Destiny does a whole lot. We go out into the streets and feed people and do conferences and have calls on Thursday nights. And now we're doing a lot of things. And by the way, if anybody would like to do like a Bible study on Saturdays, 8 a.m., you can look me up on Facebook. And it's Rafael Figueroa. And
we'll send links in this, actually. We'll send links in this, too, so everybody can get it on our podcast.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we have some fun times in the morning on Google Meets. So awesome. Come be a part. If you like this podcast, if you want to know more about Jesus and study the Word of God and know more about the gifts of the Spirit, this is the podcast for you. This is
absolutely
about Jesus and all the vision of Jesus, where he is not the vision, but the vision.
Come on. Jesus. Yes.
We want to speak that forward. Tonight.
Don't forget, we're actually putting in our, so if you feel led to be able to support us financially, we're going to put in all our different financial ways of doing that. So if that's something that you feel like you want to do at some point, we're not saying you have to, but we're definitely open to receiving any type of goodwill, offering, tithe, anything like that. We want to be able to receive that. So just remember that that's going to be in the notes, or it's going to be in the podcast description too. So we'll give all that down there. Yeah, go ahead, Rafael.
Yeah, actually, Jeff, you had some questions, so I'm going to let you go ahead and start out the podcast with the questions and just ask them. sorry. Just tell them what your thoughts are about this subject.
Yeah, you're good. Absolutely. Thank you very much, Rafael. Love the podcast, man. This is one of my favorite things to do nowadays. Okay, so the question, I was actually talking to my younger sister, and we kind of got on this route, on this roundabout conversation of evil. And I begin to kind of pick it apart. I'm like, what does the word evil mean? Where does it come from? What exactly is evil? Okay, and so it's a very complex, I think. It can be complex. It can be easy, and it can be complex. And so that was my question was, as a Christian, where and what do we define as evil? So we're going to ask a few questions. We're going to kind of do some bantering back and forth. I want to get some input on Rafael, and I'm going to just share some of my own thoughts and opinions about evil. And I know we're actually recording this prior to Easter 2025. And this is something I thought about because I was thinking about Judas, actually. And was he actually evil? Was evil? So let's ask that quick question real quick, Rafael. Was Judas considered evil? Go ahead. Your thoughts.
I think he had calamity in his heart, even though he regretted it later. And when I say calamity, I mean he had plotted against Jesus, and that plot was the calamity, as we know, the cross, also the blessing of what we know as the cross for believers. Cursed is a man that hangs on a tree. You know, I think that says a lot about the situation of evil. And when we begin to seek the Lord, we find that Judas, Satan entered into his heart. There's a right. wisdom that comes from God, and then there's earthly gain or knowledge that is from Satan. And Satan entered into his heart, and it wasn't an instance where he just gave in and plotted and did what he did. And Jesus looked at him and he said, do what you do fast. You know what I like about Jesus? He
What's
says,
that?
Do what you do fast. He looks at him, but he knows the good that's going to come out of what the enemy meant for evil. The enemy just meant for calamity. But God meant it for good. God meant it for good. In the beginning, he made the earth. 6 days, he said it was good. 6 days, he said it was good. And later in the New Testament, you see there's something that's still good. It's called the gospel, the good news. It's the turning of things that were evil for good. The fall of man, turning it for good, turning it for a stage for Christ to walk up on and to be worshipped and adored and to be praised in the highest.
Let me ask you a quick question right here. I want to throw something at you. Okay. What did evil actually, in your opinion, so this is, again, just as your opinion, just to make sure we're clear, do you believe that evil actually existed on the first day or second day? Do you believe that existed, or do you think evil entered in with something else? What was the entrance to evil? I just want to get a couple thoughts from you.
So throughout the whole entire Bible, when the word evil is used, it's different than the word sin.
I agree.
I think evil can be sinful, but I also think that it can be good. God says, I create peace and evil. Now, he's not creating people to go murder people and do all this nasty rape stuff. And you can make that say a whole lot of things with a lot of people's opinion, but the word is like calamity.
Right.
And so, in the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered on the face of the deep, and he hovered, and there was creation of life coming up out of the water. In the Hebrew, it's like a sperm going into the ocean and creating life. The sperm, like the sperm of God, creating things. And so you have him separating light and darkness. So when God says, I create peace and I create evil, he creates light and he creates darkness. You have the tree of life and you have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right?
Right. So and, evil actually existed in the beginning.
Yeah, but he said it was good. I mean, think about this. I have a question. Have you ever enjoyed blowing up something?
Did you say blowing up something?
Yeah, blowing up something.
When I was younger, I had firecrackers and bottle rockets, and those were fun to blow up. If that's right. Kind of the lane you're going down,
Yeah. So what makes sense about blowing up something? And it's just fun, right?
That's true. I agree. I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's just certain things that, for example, like tornadoes and earthquakes and stuff like that.
Right.
And it's just like the Bible calls that evil, right? But it's okay. Not necessarily a sinful thing.
Right.
It's something that's like calamity. It's there. It's God made it. It's beautiful. It is something that is beautiful. You see,
it's a weird Job. Beautiful, but okay.
You see Job being mocked by his friends, you know, and his friends saying all kinds of crazy things. But you see God speaking to him out of a whirlwind, right?
Right.
I mean, a whirlwind. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It is crazy, but, you know, that's a calamity. But God's speaking to him out of that. God
yeah.
speaks through creation. Volcanoes going off. And a massive dust cloud in the air, right? There's ashes going up. There's heat. There's lava coming down and rivers of lava flowing and everything. It's crazy, right?
Right.
But it is so beautiful. The ocean, when it hits against land, right? It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it could either be a calming thing or it could be a destructive thing.
Right. Right. Sure. Right. That's interesting. It's interesting. So I want to ask a couple questions. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. That's got some really interesting aspects of it. So we answered what is evil. We answered that. And did you, your definition, did God create evil? That was number two. Did God create it? So God did. Okay.
Yeah, you can see in Isaiah, we can turn to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7.
Isaiah 45, verse 7?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go there.
It says,
I want to be behind you up there.
In the King James Strong's, it says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. The next verse says, in verse 8, it says, drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up. Okay, now I want you to imagine this. It's raining very heavy, right?
Okay.
And God's like, let the earth, he's describing something that people might be scared of sometimes. A heavy rain that's going to cause all sorts of floods, right?
Right.
And he says, let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up. Now, if the earth is opening up, you there might be an earthquake.
Right.
Okay. And let them bring forth salvation. And let the righteous spring up together.
Right.
I, the Lord, have created it. The next part, it says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Okay, I'm gonna put this in a different version to say it again. This is the New Living Translation. It says, I create the light and make darkness. I send good times and bad times. I, the Lord, am the one who does these things. Open up, O heavens, and pour out your righteousness. Let the earth open wide, so salvation and righteousness can sprout up together. I, the Lord, created them. What sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker?
No.
Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it? Saying, no. Stop! You're doing it wrong! Stop! Does the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be?
Yeah.
How terrible would it be if a newborn baby said to its father, why was I born? Or if it said to its mother, why did you make me this way?
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, think about this. Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike.
Yeah.
That's a word in the Bible. A lot of people might not like that word, but it's true. Life happens. Things happen. But God works all things together. For good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and so let me throw something at you here. There's a scripture that talks about every good and perfect king comes from above, which is kind of where part of the question came from. Did God create evil? I don't know that he created evil in a concept of evil, but I think he allowed it to, can I use the word mutate into something what it is now? But I think there was seeds of evil that were created, that it only grew especially when Satan came to earth, it grew and grew and grew.
I have a question.
Which
who made the tree of good and evil?
That would be God.
Okay. So what did the tree of the knowledge of good and evil do?
Well, it was told to Adam and Eve not to eat of it. So it just represented
What did the fruit actually do when Eve took
it? It opened their eyes to show you what sin was about.
It opened their eyes. Okay. And it made them wise. Right. And the Bible says that the Lord said, they've become wise like one of us.
Right.
Least
you talk. Are you talking about God Himself? Or are you talking about people?
Genesis chapter 3, I believe.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we're clear here. So
yeah,
just tracking all the progress here.
To Genesis chapter 3, real quick.
Sure.
Because this is a good conversation.
Yeah. So, thank you. No, I like tracking these out so that we all are on this, can be on the same page, and you will have some reference about this. See.
So verse 22 in Genesis chapter 3, it says...
You say 32 or 20? What did you say?
Chapter 3, yes. Verse 22.
22. Okay, hang on. Let me get there. Okay, I'm getting there. Yes.
And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us.
Right.
To know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken.
Mm-hmm.
So, who created that tree?
That would have been God. So, technically, you're right. God did make evil. I don't think. Let me reference this point real quick before you make your next comment, if you don't mind. I think God made evil, but I think man and Satan manipulated it, and it morphed into something
and morphed
more and
sin.
More.
morphed into sin.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
They tainted the goodness.
That's a good word, tainted. That's a good word.
Of God with uncleanness and took something that was holy and made it common.
Let me ask you a quick question now. This is kind of a shot in the dark here. How did the act of evil reference sickness? I'm trying to think of sickness. Did evil have a part to play in sickness in our bodies?
I believe sin does.
Sin did
but
that?
I do not
okay.
believe sin did.
Okay.
I believe evil is just a word for calamity, but sin can be the cause of evil.
I looked it up real quick, and the word evil, according to Google, is profound, wicked, or immoral. That's what Google said it was. Really quick.
Well, according to our Bible from the Greek, from where we were going, it also includes wickedness.
Right, yeah, which
not,
right, which part of that,
sense,
yeah.
Not in the sense of sin. We can look it up right now here in the Hebrew. Sorry, it was the Hebrew, not the Greek. if we go to Genesis chapter 6, right? Verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So the same word that's used for wickedness in the Hebrew, it's a Hebrew Strong's number 7451, and it's ra-ra-ha-a. Okay?
Okay.
And that same verse, evil, is used twice. Okay, the word for evil in mm-hmm. Hebrew. And it means unpleasant, unhappy, misery, displeasing, bad, worse, many times. Misery, distress, injury, wrong. So not once, as I'm reading this, for the Hebrew Strongs, does it mean sin? Not once is this word used for sin.
Okay.
In the whole entire Hebrew Old Testament. Never once, as far as I can read right here. And as far
well,
as
I can do that. Well, I think, and as you're looking that up, because sin is what, when God tells you not to do something, when he told the Israelites to do or basically to do this and they didn't do it, that became a sin. That doesn't make it evil. Yeah, I get what you're saying here. They're not the same word. There is commonality in sin and evil, but they're not the same. The root word is not the same.
Let me ask you something. So the Lord from the foundation of the earth wanted to sacrifice a body, the Lamb of God, right?
Okay.
Is it wrong for human sacrifice?
I say yes,
it's wrong, 100%.
Is it wrong for humans to sacrifice another person? Is that what you're asking
yeah.
for? I'm just making
yeah.
sure I'm clear upon.
Yeah, it's wrong.
Because then you're dealing with murder then at this point. I mean,
okay.
Because we know that Jesus, according to what scripture says, he became the ultimate sacrifice. And if a person, group, cult, whatever, is sacrificing another person in any shape, form, whatever, that's just murder. So,
okay. So Christ, Jesus, yes. as he's going there, he says, "No man takes my life." Okay. So who took
that's
his
true.
Life? Who
Jesus gave
lay?
It up.
He laid it down.
Right.
But there he paid, he drank the cup. Right?
Right.
And death was swallowed up in life.
He
gave his life's blood at the cross, and his blood was shed.
Yeah.
For the remissions of sins, not the remission of evil.
No, I agree. I completely agree with that statement.
It was very evil what had happened. It was very evil for them to mock God, to put a crown of thorns on top of his head, to pierce his side, to pierce his hands. It was so evil. But God called it good.
Right.
Now, I want to take you to another place.
Okay, let's go.
So, when Jesus comes back, he's on a horse, and he's slaying his enemies. Is that evil? He himself calls it evil, right? He says,
right.
I come to do evil in Revelations. He's going to destroy. There's going to be calamity. And the seven seals that are released, the bowl and the bowls of judgment, there's calamities. There's evil in that. He even tells in Revelations, he says, tie Jezebel up to a sick bed and let her drink the cup, the wine of wrath. He also says that.
Right.
So I think a big difference that we got to realize is the difference of sin and evil. They're not the same.
Yeah.
I completely agree. They are not the same. They can come into agreement with each other. People can seek to do evil. When people seek to do evil, it's usually out of sin, period.
Yeah.
When people seek to kill Abel in a field, it's out of sin.
Okay, so let me ask you a question, real quick question. Is it evil? Okay, this is going to be interesting. Is it evil to speed in your car driving down the road? Is it considered evil if you're speeding?
I consider it good sometimes. I consider it very good sometimes.
Okay. We heard it from the horse's mouth. Probably Hill said it's good to speed. No. It's never recommended to speed. Just want this podcast to know. We don't recommend speeding.
Faster. Faster.
We want to do things in the correct order, Father God. So. No. These are the questions I enjoy asking, and I love just a little bit of banter back and forth here. That's interesting. Well, then let me ask you another couple questions here, okay? Does evil, is the church considered evil, the big C? Is the church considered evil, or does evil live in the church? Your thoughts and opinions.
Well, the
church, I think I've stumped him.
The church is going to seem evil to the world, period. The Bible says, they shall call good evil and evil good.
Well, I agree. That's true. But it doesn't matter what the world says, because we're lining up what Scripture said. So what Scripture says is good. The church is being backed up by Scripture. So the world can just have their own opinion and thoughts about it. And, you know, in my opinion, they're
when the prophets call down fire.
Yeah, please go ahead.
When the prophets call down fire, right, out of heaven.
Yeah.
In Revelation.
Yeah.
Is that good or evil?
You know, that's a good question. It depends on what the order. So if. That's a really good question. I don't think it was evil, because if it came from Father God, Scripture said every good and perfect thing come from above. So
I think it's both.
Well, I get it both. But if if people were sinning and in the wrong and had a lifestyle that was completely wrong against what the scrolls and what the law was telling them, and the prophets were operating from a judicial system of God said not to do this, then I believe the fire was good because he was cleansing the fire, or he was cleansing the earth. Now, from you know, a bystander's point of view, that was evil. But from God's point of view, in sitting on the mercy seat, or sitting on the throne, I mean, no, that's not evil. I think it's how you look at it, perspective, or as the word we say is optics. Yeah, go ahead.
I think God has both perspectives at the same time.
I agree. I think you can have both.
This is calamity, and this is going to bring forth something good. I'm going to be right here, and I'm going to turn this for good. I am. So fire comes down with the prophets of God, right?
Right.
And it devours people. And there's a cleansing. Now, the false prophet, he also does many signs and lying signs and wonders, right?
Right.
And I believe that's considered evil. But God is going to take that for good, because he's going to show how much more powerful he is, like he did with Moses. All these false prophets and magicians were in Egypt, you know, throwing down rods and turning water into blood, and you name it. They were doing all these things, right?
Right.
So, but nobody could beat Jesus. Nobody could beat Yahweh. And Moses says, let my people go. And you know what happens eventually?
What's that?
Pharaoh lets his people go. Because you cannot keep a child of God in bondage. You cannot. Whether it be good or evil. You cannot keep a child of God in bondage.
True.
You can't. It was good for them to be there for a while with Joseph. Right. Joseph was there and they were eating. But no matter if it's pleasant or not, I'll say it like that. Whether it's peaceful or chaotic.
Yeah.
God is going to make sure that his people are not in bondage. And that is life. That's the difference between the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life.
Yeah. There's
life. This is what life does. The tree of life does. Abraham's about to sacrifice his son because he's obeying the word of the Lord. He's about to kill his begotten son. And I say begotten son because he was the promised kid, the promised child.
Mm-hmm.
He was the heir to receive the inheritance, not Ishmael.
Right.
This was the son who gets everything, and he's going to kill him. But God, he knew, in Hebrews it says, he knew that God was even able to raise him from the dead.
Right.
And so he was going to go and fulfill.
One way or another, Isaac was going to be okay.
Yeah, because he had faith, and that is life. And it's evil to kill somebody. It is evil. But in the way that Abraham was about to do it, it was not sinful. And right. Yet, God stopped him and says, I've tried you. I know you, your heart now. And there was a sacrifice in the tree. There was life in the tree. There's life. The Bible says the heart is deceitful, and who can know it?
Right.
It's deceitful. It's wrong in all of its ways. But there's part of us that is a new creation. that we no longer have to have the old mindset, but we have the mind of Christ. And that's the difference between the mind of the knowledge of good and evil and the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Knowledge of good and evil says, these two people love each other, so why can't they just be together? Right?
Well, genetically, that may not work, you know.
Well, I mean, that's the mindset of the knowledge of good and evil to an extent. But the tree of life.
Well, I want to throw one more at you here in just a minute. So when you finish that thought, I have another thought I want to throw at you before we finish up. Go ahead.
But the tree of life says, I want you to have kids, and you don't understand that. And you'll be a lot happier with some kids and being able to know your spouse and know your kids and just so many different benefits that you can't even imagine. And it's not something that you know or hear with your ears or see with your eyes, but it's entered into the heart. It's entered into the spirit of a man, and that is life. And that's why Abraham was able to go out where he did not know. And God called him out from his family. And he was happy. He was happy with that. He was good because he trusted in the Lord. Go ahead.
Yeah, so no, it's interesting. Yeah. That this is kind of goes along with the same questions that I was asking. And one of the questions I had was, can evil live in good or vice versa? And I think there can be evil that does live in good. That's my opinion. And I think there could be good that lives in evil. Now, again, I'm not saying it's the whole thing, but I think there can be both. Like a person that is good can still have evil living in them and vice versa. But I think that you're talking, when you talk about Isaiah and Abraham, you're talking about foundational people that God put here on earth to be able to instruct them and show them the purpose and plan of God. So, no, it wasn't evil for Abraham to take Isaac and say, let's go to the mountains. That's faith. But one question I wanted to throw at you, too, real quick, and it is on topic, but yet it's not on topic, and about money. So talk to me real quick while we're talking evil. Is money evil?
Money is a tool.
No, I agree. No. That's my thought. So people have quoted, I've heard this quoted all my life at my age. I've heard it quoted, money is evil. No, money is actually very beautifully said, Raphael. I love what you're saying here. Because money is simply just a tool. It's like taking a screwdriver, and on your workbench, screwdriver is neither good nor evil. It's just a screwdriver, or a wrench, or a hammer. And there's nothing good or bad about a hammer. Now, if you take a hammer and you do calamity on a person, you know, inflict physical pain, then yeah, that's evil. But if you take it and build a house or build a monument or whatever, then it's beautiful. So again, that's my question. Money. What is your thoughts and ideas on the idea of money? Go for it.
I believe that you can have as much as you want as long as you want to give it all away. because you can't take it when you go.
That's true. I agree.
You're not gonna take it when you go, and the Bible talks about us feeding the widow and helping the orphan, you know, helping the fatherless. It talks about helping the poor. And if you're not about that, then what's your money worth?
Yeah.
It's nothing. The Bible talks about charity in the Bible. And if you don't have it, you have nothing. So you can have as much money as you want, but if you don't have charity, it's nothing.
Well, it goes exactly what you were talking about a minute ago when you talk about Abraham and evil. I think let's kind of sum it up like this. In the hands of a person, it's going to depend on what that person defines evil as. So you can define evil as actions, person, or a thing, or what have you. But does that just because you think it's evil, does it mean that I think it's evil? My thought is, with money or a tree or a person, I think what it comes down to is what it is that you're doing with that. With money, you have to be able to let God speak through you and speak to you and then speak through you with that money. So if I have $1 million, you know, I heard about these ministers that have several $100,000, $1 million homes. They have all these things. Now, there's a lot of people that have issues with that, but I'm thinking, but if you notice, they give a lot of stuff away. They do things for free. They don't charge things. They're traveling all the time. And it's like for me, if I had $1 million and everyone thought, well, why does he have $1 million and he's a minister? But if I'm traveling every single day, I kind of need finances to be able to travel. You know, that's not a wrong thing to have $1 million to be able to do the things. And if I'm giving it away to the poor, if I'm giving it to churches, if I'm, you know, buying houses for people that need houses paid for, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with it. It's all dependent on who and what you're doing in your. I think it's a heart issue. That's just for me. Evil is a heart issue. I'm there. You go. Go for it. I'm getting ramped up here, man. I gotta chill out for a second. Go ahead, please. Thoughts.
Yeah. I like money. Money doesn't like me. The money doesn't have feelings, right?
That's true. True. No. You can snap a dollar bill around and it ain't gonna say nothing to you.
The reason why I like money is because I can use it for many different things. It's when you love something that it becomes an idol.
Right.
When you love it more than God.
Yeah.
When you love it more than what God has told you to do with it. When you don't trust Him.
Yeah.
That's when it has become a calamity to you. It has become a detriment. It doesn't matter if you have $1 million or not. It has become money. The love of money is the root of all evil.
That's the thing. The love of money. It doesn't say money, but the love of money. Yeah.
You have a lot of calamity in that. A lot of calamity. And wickedness. You'll do anything for that calamity. You've turned what was a tool into a calamity.
Yeah.
And yeah. So that's the issue. You can do a lot of things with money. You can start building projects. You can start feeding the hungry projects. You can start strip clubs. You can start bars. You can start a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
And when you start wanting to use it for your own will like that, then you've created something in your heart that's only going to cause destruction.
See, there you go. I think what you said is kind of backing up what I just said, was evil is a contingent of the heart. What is your heart doing, saying, wanting is going to be where you go and invest everything that you have. So if all you're doing is looking for self-gratification, then evil is something that will probably be more prevalent in life than for a person that just wants to give it all away and build for whatever reason, for churches or ministry or missionaries or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. This has been good. I like this conversation. It's been good.
I like it too.
Oh. Well, any final thoughts before we get ready to sign off here?
Man, I love that God is the one who creates. And it's not Satan who's in control of everything, but it's God. It is God. The one thing you had a question written down here, and you said, "Did the devil or Satan create evil?" I believe the enemy created sin in his heart. And that was his calamity. That was his evil. So I do believe that he had
I have a perspective on that when you get a second. Go ahead.
He tainted what was he took what was holy and made it uncommon. He took his position with God, his status with God, and created something that was common and defiled himself in the presence of the Almighty God.
Right.
And so he destroyed what he had. And so when you see him in the garden, the devil or Satan, you see him trying to create calamity in other people's lives. It's amazing what people will do when they're very unhappy in their own lives, and the calamities or wickedness or evil that they will try to create in yours.
Yeah.
That's what you see with Eve and Adam.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. You know, something, I have a perspective, and I feel like I just kind of just heard this recently was, I think this is going to be a little bit shocking for you, but I'm going to say something, and I'm just going to tell you this is how I feel. I think sin was if we think of the kingdom of God, and there are certain laws, rules, regulations, and if you don't follow, if you get away from certain aspects of what the kingdom looks like, then you're actually operating against the kingdom. It's kind of like our natural laws on earth. And when you talked about sin, I kind of had this thought was, I don't know, again, this is going to maybe be a little shocking. I don't know that Satan really created sin. I think he crossed the line and really understood what sin was. Because sin was not something that's, you're not labeled, you don't have sin. It's not like a luggage case that you carry around sin. Sin is it's basically a law that's set up in the kingdom of God. And when you cross a certain line, or let's call, can we even call it a sin line? When you cross that line, you're now out of the boundaries of kingdom of heaven, and now you're outside the boundaries of the kingdom of heaven. And he was the first one to do it. So therefore, we see him as almost as a pioneer into sin. And he is always tempting people to cross that boundary from the kingdom of God or the kingdom of light into darkness. And that's why he's always pulling on us to be able to do, say, whatever the thing is, and pull you out of the kingdom of God into darkness. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about. When you said sin, it really kind of hit my nerve or hit me like that. And not a negative way, just an aspect that I think of. What do you think?
I think that
it's okay. You can disagree. It's perfectly fine. I'm okay with that.
I think we should talk about this on another podcast. this aspect of Satan or the devil.
Okay.
You know, I do not think Satan creates.
He cannot, no.
But I do think that sin is a tarnishing of what the mark was. And so you have precision, and you have accuracy. And he was not precise. And that caused him to have blemish You know, in the Old Testament, you could not bring an animal with a certain blemish for a sacrifice.
Yeah.
It had to be, what, spotless.
Right.
The Bible talks about when he comes for us, he's going to find a bride who is spotless.
Right.
With no wrinkles. Why? Because she has made herself ready. She's been washed by the word of God. She's been adorned with crowns and jewels. She is decked out, ready for her groom. She is ready. And Satan was not. He was not ready. He was not ready. He had blemish. He became common, separated in that moment. And not in a good way.
Yeah.
Not in a good way.
Right.
And so you have that. I think this will be a good conversation for another time. I really like this conversation. And I thank you, John.
I'm glad you like it. It's kind of offshoot of a couple of different thoughts. But, you know, sin and devil and what is sin and where it is the line. So, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We need to end this podcast. So, hello, all you potties out there or people that listen to this. We need to find a name, Raphael. We need to find a name to call people. So,
friends.
Friends. Okay, we can do that. But that's something. But I wanted to say this too, and I just felt, you know, when you were talking earlier, it really felt like this. If you don't know Jesus, Raphael, or if these people don't know Jesus, let me ask you a question. How do you learn, and how do you accept Jesus in your heart? What are some of the things that they can do? Because this is something I want to begin doing, is making sure people know how to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior.
You got to have him as your friend.
Okay. And how do they do that, Raphael?
Your best friend. And you do that by talking to him, trusting in him, believing the gospel. And if you want to know the gospel, just stay tuned. Pray.
Right.
Pray to God and say, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. And I want you to know me. He already does. He knows everything about you. But he wants you to say so. I'll say it like this. A good mother, a good father knows their child. But a good father and good mother wants their child to know and have a reciprocal relationship with their child. They don't want nothing forced upon their child. And God's not here to force anything on you. And so today you can choose this day if you want life or you want your own thing.
Yeah.
And so God gives you the choice today to call on his name, and his name is Jesus, and he loves you.
Amen.
And he cares for you. He cares so much that he died for you on a cross, and that he rose again from the grave to give you life, and life more abundantly. Life that never ends. Never has a life that never has to deal with the tragedy of not having him in it. So, I pray if you don't know the Lord, or if you got friends that don't know the Lord, show them Jesus. Give them Jesus. Live your life like Jesus. Love them in the name of Jesus.
Amen. So let's speak a blessing over them, Raphael, and we can end this podcast. So, Father, we speak a blessing over each and every person And everyone that hears this, we pray that every download is able to be fully know you. And we pray that over each and every person, over families, and even vehicles, and even earbuds that are being played through. We pray that the blessing of God flow to them and through them in Jesus' name. Amen. Raphael, any last thing you want to say before we sign off?
God bless.
God bless. Yes, God thank you. This is the Breaking Bread Podcast with Jethro Hennigmeyer and
Raphael Fear, lover of Jesus. I got it this
time. He got it this time. Have a great day. And as far as next Sunday or this Sunday, Easter, we pray that you find a good church and you get there. So have a good day.
Have a good day.